back this year. I cut mine back down almost to the ground, about a fist.
A fist full of Nandina.
A fist height, yes.
Yeah, cut the Nandinas down about a fist height.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, the little dwarf ones, you know, okay. The pretty red ones, mm-hmm. That were pretty all winter long. Really good year for dwarf Nandinas. Mm-hmm. They exhibited a whole lot of those red buttons or stop sign.
That kind of color, huh?
The stop sign red color. They're really very attractive this winter, mm-hmm. But that last zinger we had really got to them. Mm-hmm. So it's time to think about cutting them back. And come on, people! I know your Nandinas are ugly. Just
funky, cold man Nandinas.
Ugly, ugly, ugly. I was at a house yesterday. They were like almost waist high. Yeah. And so they're way too tall, and they're not attractive anymore. So they need to be really cut back. Oh, really? How low can you go? You
know, about a fist high.
About a fist high. Yeah. So she'll be involved in doing that. Yeah. I do it to mine every 3 years. Cut them down to the quick, mm-hmm. And they come back looking so nice and fresh. And the thing is, they have a good heavy root system on it, so they recover quickly from being cut back.
I see.
And they look so much more attractive, just like new shrubs when you do that. So anyway, cut back those dwarf Nandinas. I know a lot of people have them. They're a very good shrub for our climate. They tolerate the drought real well. They tolerate the heat. They tolerate the cold. They tolerate the rain. They're terrible, terrible soil.
They're just hardy little things.
They're hardy little plants, yeah. The funny thing about them is you prepare the soil just equally all along in the straight row. Put them in a straight row, one of them is just going to look kind of bad. And I think that's more genetics than anything, really. So anyway. So I got back to Nandinas. The dwarf yaupon hollies also took a kind of a hit, too.
Oh.
And they needed to be cut back, too. So, and the liriope, monkey grass.
Time to scalp the monkeys?
It looks like old hay right now.
You know? It does. It does.
I got the weed eater out last weekend. And, of course, it ran out of string, and I forgot how to string it. So so I finally got it working. Got it all cut back.
We did that rake and thatch in business last weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we didn't get a chance to buzz it down.
Yeah, anyway, you've got pontoons on the mower today.
Yeah.
It's okay. Pretty bad.
But we did knock down a lot of wild growth in the fence rows.
Right. I find also the yaupon hollies.
Yes.
People plant too close to the house in the corner of their house or something. Mm-hmm. I say that because they do.
It's not like you're making it up.
the very outer part of them have died off too.
Oh.
So this will be a great year to freshen them up too. Just cut them back rather sternly. Not that far. Cut them back a little bit. Get them kind of away from the house right now. Good time for that. So the yaupon hollies are the big ones with the big kind of curly trunks, mm-hmm. And all the small little leaves on the top. They're a very popular plant here because they do very well in our climate. Mm-hmm. And they don't get just so awful big that they get out of hand, but they can get fairly. Their specification is 20 by 20 feet. But they're easy to keep down lower. So this would be a good year to cut them back. And also, when I go to people's houses, I go to quite a few. And the crepe myrtles have died back. And the point with which they have died back is highly variable, depending on the variety and the exposure. So the jury's out, really, on how far your crepe myrtles are actually going to die back. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't just, ritualistically just cut them back. Maybe if you want some more height on them, you might want to wait a little while,
mm-hmm.
And then see how well they do. The tree form crepe myrtles probably, for at least to some part, are not going to be tree crepe myrtles anymore. So you need to kind of be selective in pruning them back too. You just don't kind of, let's wait until the leaves come out on the crepe myrtles,
yes.
To see where they're going to come out. I find also in talking to people's yards, the lower petalums are pretty much a total loss. They didn't survive this cold spell. Mm-hmm. This is really the northern limits. And, you get the pretty purple foliage on them without the thorns associated with barberry plants. But they, just by convenience, we like to plant them because they don't have the thorns. You get the purple colors and flowers on them, too. But they died all the way to the ground. So I don't know if they're going to come up from the ground or not, but we'll find out.
Mm-hmm.
So lower petalums are kind of shot, too. It's a bad winter.
Yeah, yeah. And a whole week and a half of winter, it really just did a number on us.
As time goes on, we're able to see how these plants are going to come back and do it. Some of the roses are trying to make a bit of a comeback, but I think there's some stem disease associated with the cold, and they might start, the buds might swell a little bit, and then I think they just sort of die off. So we'll see what happens on the roses. I know the knockouts will make it okay. The ones I've seen have done pretty well. Some of them have died back pretty much. Mm-hmm. And knockouts are a floribunda rose to begin with, and they're a true to form from top to bottom. So chances are they will, you can just cut them to the ground like you normally do.
That's what I did, Thanksgiving Day.
And they'll come back up. Hopefully this cold spell we have will also do a little bit to maybe suppress this rosette's disease somewhat too.
I hope so.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of roses, we do have some new Julia Child roses in. They just came in yesterday. I was so happy to see that they got buds on them.
Did.
So happy to see that these are from Tahlequah. Mm-hmm. And they're really quite nice. People buy like square feet of plastic to cover the plants.
Yeah.
Greenleaf bought square miles of plastic to cover their plants for the cold.
Yeah.
And the plants came in looking pretty good. So no complaints there. They look nice. And we had two truckloads of plants coming yesterday. So they're starting to come in. So you might check out what's new and check it out. We do have some forsythias on display right now. The first
easy for you to say.
Get it out. Forsythias are starting to show some flowers on them. And there's some things you need to do when the forsythias bloom.
What do you do?
And number one is you need to apply the crabgrass control when they're in bloom. And they're just about the ones that are native here that have been in the ground a while. They're just now starting to bloom. So it's time to think about putting on crabgrass control. And also it's time to cut back hollies and things when the forsythias are in bloom too. So, and yes, those are the two things. I couldn't remember exactly what. But anyway, cut back your roses too when they in bloom. And your peony plants can be moved right now. They're late this year. They can be relocated or divided if you want at this point in time too. And hostas also. The little eyes on the hostas really haven't come up very much yet. So we have an extended time when they can be dug up and divided. So get out there with the umbrella and
start moving some mud around.
Start moving your plants around a little bit. We're right
might
in the
be using that shovel for a paddle here. But
we're right in the middle of a big French drain project, too. So
how's it working for you?
Well, if we didn't hit that rock, it would have gone. It probably would have been further along.
They do get in the way, don't they?
Yeah. So anyway, this was kind of right in the middle of the project, too. Anyway, weedy plants such as dandelions are best controlled using a post-emergent weed control at this point.
Post.
I have seen some Bermuda grass starting to grow. There's some green here in the Bermuda grass, and the zoysia grass is starting to exhibit some green color. Mm-hmm. So we're running out of time to apply the Roundup for the existing weeds on the ground. So at that point, we have to go with a post-emergent herbicide, the Trimec or something like that. Mm-hmm. We'll work to control them. So if you missed a boat on the dandelions, you still got time. There's still a solution for that. Mm-hmm. So you can do it right now. The Poa annua, which is that little green stuff coming up in your mm-hmm. little green grasses, mm-hmm. that's an annual bluegrass. Kind of a pest. So I think it looks kind of nice, really, but some people think it's a real pest.
Yeah.
So, but it's a matter of tolerance, I guess. But anyway, we're almost out of time to control that. And in the fall, that's when you do most of your controlling on that, and that's using the prodiamine on that to control mm-hmm. that. We're just almost at the point where we're at the beginning of the time when it's time to put on the crabgrass control. Traditionally, the middle of March, which is right about now, I say St. Patrick's Day typically,
mm-hmm.
it's time, and that's coming up right soon. So it'd be time to put down the crabgrass control in your yard.
Yeah.
So you'd be out there with your spreader in the rain. I think we have some rain coming up next week as well.
30% on Wednesday, 50% on Tuesday night.
Okay, so there you go.
You got 24 hours to kind of get over it for a little bit.
Yeah,
so and then the rain comes back on Tuesday
on your
night.
Fescue lawns right now, it's time to fertilize, time to get that started up again. It took a real hit this last cold spell, but it'll come out. We got a color?
Not yet.
Okay, anyway. And it actually would be a good time to perhaps do a scalping of the fescue grass just to improve its appearance a little bit.
All right.
Because there's a lot of dead stuff on top of people's fescue lawns. So if you have a lot of straw-looking stuff on your fescue lawn, it wouldn't hurt to sharpen that mower real good and give it a little bit of a low cut, if you will. Not a complete scalp, but a low cut. I remember we lived up, you lived up in Chicago too.
Oh, yeah.
We dethatched, we had these rakes where we dethatched our fescue lawns every spring.
Every spring.
And they came out looking really nice after doing that. So we need to follow up on that. We had Chicago weather basically this winter.
Oh, yes, we did.
So, yeah, look at that lawn's fescue across the road there. And it looks like kind of like Bermuda grass. So we really need to think about dethatching a little bit on the fescue grass as well before it really starts to grow. And I think after this rain hits, we get a little sun on it and some consistent warmth, it's just going to grow up real fast.
There you go. All right, we're going to take a little bit of a break, and we'll be back after this two-minute timeout.
Hello, this is Tim from United Rentals. We've had a reputation of we're the big gorilla, we're the largest rental company in the world, and we are. What we're trying to do is we're trying to get out of the order-taking philosophy. We need to find out what people need. We need to show them we have what they need, and then fix it up where they can come by and get it, or we can deliver it to them. Either way, 918-333-9580. We're up here on the southeast corner of Highway 60 and 75, 3801 Nowata Road, United Rentals.
Spring is just around the corner, and Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has new shipments of shrubs and trees arriving daily. It's a must-see what they have in stock. And while you're shopping for your springtime plants, ask about their shamrock plants. Get ready for spring at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, home to Bartlesville's largest plant selection. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road, open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5.
Melissa Wandel was 9 months pregnant with her first child when her husband, Mark, was killed in a car accident. His life insurance made a huge difference for Melissa and her daughter, Madison.
I wasn't going to have to worry about going to work every day, leaving her in the hands of somebody else, struggling day by day to get by.
A message from the Nonprofit Life Foundation.
Hey, Frederick, it looks like you've been working out.
You're right, I have been working out. I've been preparing for the Bartlesville K-Life Run Neville 10K race.
Oh, sweet. How do I get involved?
You can get involved by going to BartlesvilleKLife.com. On that website, there's a link to the run website.
Does it cost?
It's $40, and that price includes medals and t-shirts.
Oh, cool. I want a medal and a cool K-Life t-shirt. Are there any other details I need to know?
Yes, you could go to Bartlesville K-Life Facebook page or the Run Facebook page or call 407-683-1337.
Sweet. See you there.
Bartlesville's News Talk, K1 AM 1400 and 93.3 FM.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener program. I'm Tom, along with our expert, Larry Glass. Our phone lines are somewhat open. We got folks waiting on board. We'll get to you here in just a second. You want to give the phone line out for everyone else who's interested in being a part of our program today. It's 1-800-749-5936. A reminder that if you're planning on going to Willow Rock today, they're delaying the opening due to the high water. Right now you might want to refrain from even going by there on the roadway because it's deep, yeah, out there. So be careful, and we'll give you an update there as to when it'll open up. Right now, if you want to call it a break in the action in the rain in the Bartlesville area, you'd be mistaken. It's just not raining as hard. Yeah. All right, Larry, let's go to the phones here. I do believe we got someone waiting here. Hi, good morning. Welcome. You're on the air with the Green Country Gardener.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I heard you talking about lawns yes. just before the break. And I need some help with my lawn.
Okay.
Last year, I have a zoysia grass.
Yes.
And last year, I decided to wage a war on the weeds and did some spot spraying with Roundup and ended up killing a lot of the zoysia. So I've got some patches, maybe 1 foot, 18-inch diameter kind of patches in my lawn that are bare. I guess you got some cool season grasses growing up in those spots now.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And so looking for some advice on how to repair those, should I seed, sod, or is there something else I should do?
Well, zoysia grass spreads kind of like Bermuda grass, and it will in a fairly short period of time, it will kind of fill in. So you could go ahead and take out the dead grass and work up the soil real good, and then take some plugs from the existing grass and plug it in there. And that should fill in within the summer sometime. So it will fill in like that. So either that or go get some sod. But golly, there's so many different varieties. You don't know if you're going to get the right one or not. Do you have Matrella or do you have Myers? Do you have just straight Japanese? Or you don't know what variety you have. So to avoid having a little differentiation in texture and color, you might want to consider just plugging from other parts of the yard. Bermuda grass, we have a symptom known as spring dead spot when we have a lot of snow on the ground in February. So we're going to have some of that this year, I think. And it's the same kind of thing. And you just have to work up the soil and then just plug it in. So that should take care of it.
Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you for your call. Appreciate it. And you can be next in line to talk with the Green Country Gardener, Larry Glass, at 1-800-749-5936. What else we got going on here, brother?
We were talking about the roses. So they're beginning to leaf out a little bit. So you want to get busy and trim them. If you want to cut them back, it's also time to plant your bare root roses if you have any of those. I know some of the stores have those here and there, and you want to. It's getting late to plant those. You really should plant them in February. Mm-hmm. But winter or spring's kind of delayed this year a little bit. So, so you want to start a spray program as soon as it warms up and the leaves emerge, just so you can have a problem with black spot and whatnot. So that's kind of with roses. Trees, you want to fertilize your existing trees now using a 16:8:8 or similar ratio than that. Or use the fertilizer spikes. They're pretty good to do. Now's a good time to plant trees in the landscape. They'll go ahead and have a good root system on them. We planted a couple trees yesterday, actually. A good time to get established and get some roots going on them before the heat hits. So you want to get after that real soon on that. Selection's pretty good, and it's getting better every day as we get more trees coming in. And we do have a good stock of trees at this point also. So anyway, it's time to think about that. So if you do want a shade tree or something, or flowering tree of some kind in the yard, good time to think about that. So you always dig a bigger hole than you really want to. Yeah, come on. Come on, guy. You can do it. You can dig a little bigger. We have a couple of saucer magnolias up front. We sold two of the really nice specimen dogwoods we had. Sold them, planted them yesterday. And we still have some of those left up front, too. So I think five of them or so. So really covered in blooms. Be really, really quite nice. So can't wait for that to open up.
Speaking of digging, are you supposed to call a number before you start digging someplace around here so you don't start messing up things for other people and maybe
that,
your own house?
That is a good idea. I was dealing with a customer last week, and she wanted us to plant a big old row of trees. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, we need to call the utilities. And she said, well, can you just kind of dig and sort of, maybe find them with your shovel? And I said, if you want us to dig those and everything, and we don't call the utility companies, and we do break a line, it's going to be your responsibility, not ours. Because you ordered us to do this. I said, I will not plant a row of trees over utility lines until we have called the utility companies. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And we take care of that individually?
Took care of it.
Yeah.
So anyway, you want to be very careful, because that's an inconvenience. To be without internet or telephone or
gas.
Well, gas is pretty deep.
It is.
Except. we did a sprinkler system for somebody, and they marked the gas lines.
Mm-hmm.
And as a standard SOP, standard operating procedure, we dig with a shovel a hole so the shovel is parallel to the line. So you don't want to do it perpendicular because you can cut it. You always want to go parallel. Mm-hmm. Dig a little bit and do a little pulling, dig a little bit, get down to the depth of the pipe. Well, we hit the gas line at 4 inches deep.
That's shallow.
Yeah. Not the first time, but it was a time when we had to put the sprinkler system line down lower than the gas line.
Wow.
So it's very, very important to call Oki when that happens. That's just 811 or call Oki. Okay. Google call Oki, and you can do it on the internet too.
All right.
I find I have a little better response rather than using the telephone. You just enter your address and all that, and they'll tell you, and they'll locate it for you. But anyway, so yeah, you do want to make sure you do that. So
good.
It is a good time to plant trees.
It is, and it's a good time to buy trees.
Yeah.
You can go see Larry.
It's also a good time to fertilize them, too, and mulch them, and maybe pruning also. I was at a house yesterday where there's a tree that had been damaged. Mm-hmm. And didn't know really the cause of the damage. It was caused by borers. And some of the wood looked like, you know, Swiss cheese. Just eaten up. I said, you've got borers on this tree. You need to put some stuff on there to control those borers. And we do have a systemic insecticide called imidacloprid, which does a very good job of controlling borers. So she said, well, somebody told me this tree doesn't have a chance. I said, I really think it does. It had a real nice structure to it. It was kind of an open structure, well branched and all that. And I think this tree can be saved. Yeah. So let's try it and see. So she's going to try that.
Well, good.
Good deal. So anyway, so be aware of what's going on with your trees. Look at the structure. They're not really leafed out. Look at the branching and see if there's broken branches. If you have broken branches with stubs sticking out, it's just an invitation to insects and diseases. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure that you do cut the branches pretty close to the trunk to where it can heal up. And I showed her where some former damage had been done on this tree. And you can see this healing tissue encapsulating the wound, if you will. And this will eventually close up. And there's, over here on the other side of the tree, here's one that was cut a long time ago. And you can see where the tree has sealed it up over on this side. So
she got a real clear indication on how that's going to work out. Yeah.
Exactly. And said this damage up here is in the process of healing. Mm-hmm. And this is fresh damage over here. It got broken up in a storm or something. I don't know what it was. And so it just needs a little pruning. You've got conflicting wood. That's a mess. And actually, one of the best ways to do some intricate pruning on a tree, such as this one, was to use a Sawzall.
That's what I've been using.
You just can't get a chainsaw in every little area.
No, you can't.
Kevin.
I went out. That was the best $69 ever spent.
I know, yeah. But anyway, that's what I use at my house on my trees is the Sawzall. It works very well. You just run an extension cord. They start every time. And the blade goes dull. You just pop a new one on. It's easier.
A little blue and purple.
So that we had a little lesson in trimming things and all that. So it is time to maybe fertilize your trees. So
there you go.
You can think about doing that. Shrubs also. Time to fertilize those shrubs. Now on the hollies, I gave my hollies some iron sulfate last weekend.
Helped
darken the color. And I was at a house earlier this week before all this rain hit. And she had a skip laurel, Prunus laurosaurus skipkinensis. And the leaves are really pale. And I said, this one needs some iron. Of course, they live in Limestone City over there, and, you know, across from the Ford dealer, that area. And these really do need a lower pH soil than what you have. So you might want to put some iron sulfate on it to lower that pH. It'll perk it up a little bit. And her azaleas had really small leaves on it, et cetera. And said, this is symptomatic of calcium carbonate getting into your soil and raising the pH a little bit. When the pH goes up, the plants can't absorb nutrients and minerals. It works down in the root system. These plants are suited for a particular environment, and we shift into a different environment, and they can't survive because the conditions are not what they're genetically engineered to survive in. So we need to change the conditions for that. And typically when that happens, when you have a small leaf on your azalea or yellow leaves on your laurels or on your holly plants, you need to adjust the soil pH. Now, a high pH also increases a holly's susceptibility to a leaf spot disease, where you get these little black spots and they turn yellow and fall off. So... Well, you're looking at me like, what?
No, I'm taking it in, Larry.
And also, characteristic of too high a pH on hollies and azaleas is the node, the distance between the leaves on the branch.
Okay.
Typically, it's closer together on a plant that's stressed out from too high a pH. It slows down the growth rate and all that, too. Oh. And the leaf size gets smaller, and they have more of a tendency to get diseases. So those are symptomatic. I see this all over town. Except for Nandinas, they grow on Mars, but hollies in particular in our high pH soil have some difficulty. So,
They have their challenges.
Exactly. And azaleas, too. Yeah. And the first indication is a close internode and a small leaf. Those are the first signs of too high a pH.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back after this two-minute timeout.
Start saving piles of cash right now on your new car, truck, or SUV from your Silverado City Roman Chevrolet Buick. Save hundreds, even thousands of dollars by buying or leasing your next vehicle. Roman's offers a huge variety of specials, offers, and deals on your favorite vehicles. Get all the details today from one of Roman's friendly sales experts. Buy or lease from Roman Chevrolet Buick, 2313 West Main in Independence. Visit RomansGM.com today. Remember, Romans delivers nationwide.
Smoother, faster, easier to use. That's what you expect from any update on an app for your phone. And we've delivered. Head to the Google Play Store or Apple Store to get the latest version of the KWON Radio smartphone app. News, weather, sports, and community events from KWON have never been easier to access. There's even a button now for you to sound off and tell us what you think. It's free thanks to Arvest Bank and Oklahoma Wesleyan University, and available at the Google Play Store and Apple Store from KWON Radio.
Peter's True Value in Dewey with super bargains each month. Now through the 14th, Easy Care Paint. Save $15 instantly off each gallon purchased of Easy Care Ultra Premium or Easy Care Platinum Interior or Exterior Paint or Easy Care Woodsman Exterior Stain. And take 20% off Master Painter Better Applicators to make painting or staining easy. Discover all your project needs at TrueValue.com. Save on these and other bargains at Peter's True Value in Dewey.
There will be some homes flooded.
Tornado watch for much of the
major
state.
Structural damage is to homes.
When the weather is at its worst, we're at our best.
Heavy rain, obviously, intense lightning.
Depend on K1 AM 1400 FM 93.3 to keep you ahead of the storm.
Trees and power lines down.
Tornado warning.
You can see it on radar.
K1, the one you trust. We're here to prepare you, not scare you.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program. It is 8:37, and our phone lines are open at 1-800-749-5936. I'm Tom. He's Larry Glass, and he's the expert. He's the guy you want to talk to.
Yeah, our tree of the week today is Ulmus parvifolia.
Yes.
It's otherwise known as a lace bark elm.
I concur.
The parvifolia describes a wide variety of different varieties of elms.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a superb tree for urban conditions and should be widely considered more for use as a street tree.
Okay.
The Chinese elm is characterized by smaller leaves. They tend to be glossy in the summer,
mm-hmm.
and they persist a little better in the summer than most trees. And they have when things are really stressed out and all that, those in the northern red oaks really, really kind mm-hmm. of shine as far as appearance is concerned in the heat of the summer. They have a rather extensive root system, but mm-hmm. it's not a heavy root system. Like some trees, like a sycamore tree. Uh-huh. I was at a house this week, and somebody planted sweet gums and sycamore trees right on top of limestone. Oh, my gosh.
Well.
Yes. So, I guess if you're running around the house at night, you'd probably stumble over it. Theft prevention, yep.
There you go.
But anyway, it. So anyway, this one has a deeper root system.
Mm-hmm.
And it does tend to sort of dominate also, so you want to keep it trimmed up mm-hmm. because of the heavy canopy. It will keep the grass from mm-hmm. really doing very well underneath it. So you want to trim it up and keep it a little high, mm-hmm. just like any other tree.
Mm-hmm.
There are some good examples of the Chinese elm here in town. As you go into Woodland Park off of No Water Road over there in Oakdale,
mm-hmm.
you turn in and you go down past the stone sign they have up front, mm-hmm. the little island, and look to your left as you go. There's a professional building over there on the east side of which are four Chinese elms. Very good examples right there.
There you go. And take a peek.
They don't do anything to them.
No,
there it is. There
it is. Grow.
Commercial property. And there's some good ones at the... over on Camelot Drive, the nursing home over there on the south side. I can't remember the name of it. There's a beautiful example of one up front. It's just a beautiful tree up front there. And it's really very nice. I took my daughter over there. She's wanting to plant a tree for one of her friends who'd gotten killed in a car wreck. Oh. Yeah, she wanted to plant one in the cemetery. So I drove her around and we looked at different trees, and she just fell in love with that elm tree in front of that place.
Is it, when fall comes around, is it a heavy dropper, or does it kind of maintain its
dropper
of leaves? Of leaves.
Well, good thing about the leaves is they are small.
Yeah.
And they blow into the neighbor's yard, so you don't have to worry about raking them.
Hey, Adam, how you doing? Boom! Back at you.
No, they have a small leaf. And a good thing about the elm tree's leaves is they decompose fairly quickly, too.
Uh-huh.
So they make a pretty good mulch. So, so no. And they can exhibit, if the weather's right, they can exhibit some purplish, even some reddish, and sometimes even orange-colored leaves in the fall. So nice. They're kind of attractive. So they're not overly messy or anything like that. So it's a good tree to have. Mm-hmm. And people, I mentioned elm trees, they go, oh no, Dutch elm disease. Well, come on, this is not 1950 anymore. These trees don't get that.
Mm-hmm.
So they're really good ones to have. They're long lasting.
How high do they get?
They get about 35, 40 feet tall.
Oh yeah, that's good.
30 feet wide, 30 feet tall around there. And you know, it's variable depending on the soil type too. And you notice in better soil, like the one at the nursing home, they're it's really large, but you go to the one over there in Woodland Park, they're a little smaller. There's limitations that,
gotcha.
like all things, it affects the growth.
Mm-hmm.
Available soil and materials, water and so on. But they just look good all the time. Good street trees, too. We've planted some downtown in some of our projects we've done downtown.
Great.
So anyway, consider the lace bark elm for that. For a good shade tree in the house, they do give you some good afternoon shade. They don't litter. So they do well around patios and things.
Okay.
So they don't trash up the place. And when you're really outside, they wait till it gets cold.
And it's well behaved. It has
another
matters.
Attribute is the bark. It looks like a camouflage flotch,
cool.
If you will.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's a picture of it. Let's see. For those of you, color radio, you can see the picture of the bark. But anyway, it's a good tree. So that leaves us to the shrub of the week, which is forsythia. I briefly mentioned forsythia earlier in the week, and they're a member of the olive family.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, it's available in any color you want, as long as it's yellow.
As long as it's yellow.
Yeah. This harbinger of spring is very aggressively growing and gets rather large, so give it room. If you plant it, say, on a fence row or something out in the country somewhere, it grows in this arching habit. It comes up and the branches grow out and they kind of drop to the ground. Well, when those branches drop to the ground, they go to root.
Oh.
They make another plant.
Wow.
They grow out and they arch down to the ground. They make another plant. And that's it's kind of the exponential kind of thing.
Yeah.
When you start with one, they go out, and they radiate outwards. And
next thing you know, you got a forest.
You have a bramble, yes, yeah. Or a forest, yes. Yeah. So anyway, and in the spring, the color of that little paper up there, it's a good good butter,
yeah,
kind of a buttery yellow color.
Yeah. It was once white. No, I'm kidding. The piece of paper, never mind. But it's yellow now.
That one's been there that long? The yellow one up there underneath the screen has been there that long? Wow.
No, I'm just kidding you.
It's a good bright yellow color. It's a good bright yellow color.
The one that says yield.
And they really bring in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
And another plant that blooms at the same time is a flowering quince.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this year I've noticed the flowering quince, a lot of the blooms have got frozen off, so they're not going to make much of a show this year. Forsythia is really cold hardy, so... we're having a pretty good show. We've got some for sale at the nursery, too.
Good.
So, anyway, so that's a good one to have. Put it off somewhere where you can see it at a distance. Because its show is very brief. And after that happens, it's just kind of a shrub. So, if you want, say, a low to mid-level screen, you might integrate that in with some other plants, perhaps, just to give a little bit of pop for a fairly brief period of time in the spring. So I wouldn't really put it up by the front door or someplace like that because it's limited time in which it has some show to it. But someplace where you can see it.
It needs to be visible for a while anyway.
Yeah, at least. Keep the camera loaded. So, and as far as diseases is concerned, it does tend to get a stem anthracnose once it gets old. And you might get anywhere from 7, 12, 15 years out of these plants before they start to have a few problems. And that's the advantage of this arching and brooding effect is you have another one to take its place when they die out. So, forsythia, good plant to have.
All righty. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back after this two-minute timeout.
Spring is just around the corner, and Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has new shipments of shrubs and trees arriving daily. It's a must-see what they have in stock. And while you're shopping for your springtime plants, ask about their shamrock plants. Get ready for spring at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, home to Bartlesville's largest plant selection. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road, open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5.
Crayola experience at the Shops at Willow Bend. Can't wait to see you. We're now featuring reduced capacity, social distancing, increased cleaning measures, and, as always, lots of creative family fun. Color and wash your free scribble scrubby. Star in your own coloring page. Name and wrap your own crayon. And so much more. Get out and get creative at Crayola Experience.
Visit CrayolaExperience.com for tickets and to learn more about our new enhanced safety protocols.
Food is the subject on the Dining Guides between 11 and noon Monday through Friday on sister stations 100.1 KYFM and 104.9 FM KREG. Learn about Wheezy's Cafe, El Rey Del Burrito Express, Szechuan Chinese Restaurant, Avila's Mexican Buffet, Speedy Drinks, and KFC, all in Bartlesville. CV's in Dewey and Copan Restaurant and Truck Stop. The Dining Guides on 100.1 KYFM and 104.9 KREG.
It's March. It's the Ram Truck Month at Bartlesville CDJR, a 2021 Ram 1500 Classic. Get up to $10,000 off MSRP.
With approved credit.
Shop now at BartlesvilleCDJ.com during Ram Truck Month at Bartlesville CDJR, where you pick it out and we work it out.
Ram Truck Month.
Going on now at Bartlesville CDJR.
Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program. I'm Tom, he's Larry, and your phone calls are welcome at 1-800-749-5936. What have we got next on the agenda there?
We talked about that. Also time to do some planning for your landscape. I've got a few drawings on the drawing board right now for people's landscapes. And I either mail them out or email them out. People really like getting those emails and seeing those.
This is what our place could look like.
Software that does a good job of compressing the images. Mm-hmm. So you can get a 4096 by 3000 or so image, but with the proper compression, it's not that big a file.
Yeah.
So you can really get some good detailing on it. So cool. So anyway, but we do online presentations, or we can just send paper. So you can see what the landscape looks like. Mm-hmm. And the advantage of that is you can give me some feedback, and then we can change things and converse back and forth that way. So anyway, give us a call, and I can come on out and measure your property. I had quite a few this week.
I'm taking a look at your date book there.
Yeah, look at all this appointment. So I'm real busy right now. So we do that. And you get a cost, what it's going to cost to do that also. Mm-hmm. And we do anything from grading to drainage and irrigation systems and stuff like that. So,
mm-hmm. Very good.
So anyway, we can solve your problems with your landscape pretty easily. And when to do that, I take into account how much time you want to spend on the landscape, your soil type, your type of architecture, the slope, mm-hmm. and surrounding trees, and exposure, and all this other, all these factors you have to consider. There's a definite logic involved in coming up with a landscape plan.
Mm-hmm.
There's solutions that have to be solved. And that's the primary thrust when doing a landscape. It's what we learned in school. Mm-hmm. You just don't throw something on the paper. No, you have to take into consideration many factors.
Mm-hmm.
Soil type, soil drainage, exposure, and you know, sunshine and shade and all this other stuff. And it's a bit more complicated than just throwing some stuff. There it is.
Don't throw some stuff out there. Come on, you can't. Yeah.
Circles and squares and stuff on the bay is a bit more than that.
Jeebity.
And also the architecture of the house and people. You also had to consider people's spare time. How much time do you want to spend on maintaining this landscape? Some people really do like to work outside, so the landscape design for them is a little bit different than what it would be for somebody else. And you still, you want to have some seasonal stability in the landscape. In other words, what's it going to look like in January? What's it going to look like in July? You have to factor all this stuff in, what it's going to look like throughout the year. You have to put, you have to enter the fourth dimension on this too, as well as the three dimensions. So,
got to get it all taken care of.
And there's fertility and insects and, you know, bugs.
Bugs
and privacy issues. And, you know, stuff like that. So you really have to put all these factors in there when doing a good landscape design.
Very good. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with more of the Green Country Gardener after this time out. And it's going to run 2 minutes, 15 seconds for those on our network lines. Let's take that break right now.
From the time Frank Phillips completed his magnificent lodge home at Willow Rock in 1925 until Jane's death in 1948, they entertained the rich and the famous from all over the world. Their guests included wealthy business legends such as John D. Rockefeller and Henry Sinclair, politicians such as President Harry Truman and President Herbert Hoover, entertainers Rudy Vallee, Will Rogers, and Rubinoff, famous authors such as Edna Ferber, pilot Wiley Post, Elliot Roosevelt, son of President Roosevelt. The list goes on and on. As we look back on the parties and the stories and the deals that were being done at the lodge, we realize that it truly was the Great Gatsby of the Midwest. To most of Frank's guests who were visiting from the East or West Coast, and many times from Europe, they were truly seeing a glimpse of the Wild West that they had heard so much about. While in fact that era was long over by then, Frank Phillips loved the history and wanted to do everything he could to make sure that his guests received their money's worth during their visit to his lodge and to Willow Rock. With that in mind, it was not unusual for a carload of his guests to arrive at the gates of Willow Rock in their large black sedans and be stopped by masked bandits on horseback, taken from their cars and robbed of their wallets, jewelry, and purses, and then sent on their way by the thieves. What those guests didn't realize is that these were employees of Frank's who hurried back to the lodge on horseback, arriving well ahead of the cars. When the guests arrived at the lodge and burst into the house, telling their wild and terrifying story to Frank, he would smile and point to the table in the living room where the stolen loot was on display, compliments of Uncle Frank. Once their blood pressure had returned to normal, they too enjoyed Frank's welcome to the ranch joke. They came to see the Wild West, and Frank Phillips obliged in true Oklahoma fashion, and they left Willow Rock with stories that likely got bigger and bigger and bigger over the years. That same magic continues still today at this national treasure. Welcome home to Willow Rock.
Good morning and welcome back to the Green Country Gardener program. A reminder that a delayed opening at Willow Rock today due to the high water. What about the 3 to 5 inches of rain wherever you go? And so far by our measurements anyway. Huh. So you might want to wait till the water goes down. They're going to delay the opening today until we get a little reprieve from the rain. Keep it right here. We'll let you know what's going on.
Could you put more air in your tires perhaps and float over there?
Float over there.
Yeah, that would work.
I don't know.
Anyway, at the nursery, golly, we got, look at all this stuff.
Good lordy.
Good night, yes. We have all kinds of dahlia bulbs, different colored dahlias. And dahlias are one that's pretty easy to grow in the sun here. Mm-hmm. They do really nicely. And potatoes, we got these red potatoes and yellow potatoes and white potatoes. Asparagus, crowns, we got some of those. And let's iris.
Iris, yeah.
And garlic.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how many pounds of garlic I go through every year in my cooking. But
well, it's good.
Yeah,
good. It's good for you.
Lots of garlic and lilies, some of the stargazer lilies. The stargazer is a very popular Asiatic lily, very fragrant and really nice. So we've got, and these are good quality bulbs. These are the good ones. that they're large, and not these little acorns you get at some place, but they're really nice big ones. You got a color?
Yes, we do. Okay. Hi, good morning. You're on the air. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question on a weeping lilac bush that we planted over 2 years ago, and it still hasn't flowered. I get leaves.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is it in the open sun, open air, or is it close to the house? Or
It's probably about 4 or 5 feet away from the house on the north side.
Okay. Well, lilacs traditionally like a very open atmosphere. Lots of air circulation. Does it get mildewy in the summer by chance?
No.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Okay. Has it been fertilized very often?
We did fertilize it with manure both years, and I can't remember what else.
Okay. It's just not blooming.
No. Mm-mm.
Huh. Typically, they do set their blooms in the fall. And then they stay on the plant all winter long, and then they bloom in the spring when the time comes. So it's difficult to say, really, without looking at it, why it's not blooming. It puts on a good supply of leaves in the summer, does it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I do know that lilacs do really like it being just, say, somewhere out in the yard somewhere. They tend to do.
That's where it's at, right out in, well, not in the middle of the yard, but like I say, it's at least 4, maybe 5 feet away from the house, and there's nothing on either side.
I see.
So it's all by itself.
Okay. I can't really say. You might have a phosphorus deficiency. You might consider using a phosphorus type fertilizer or something that has a little bit of emphasis of that on it. And that would probably.
Okay.
Is the leaf size pretty good, or are they real small leaves or big leaves on it?
They're medium. They're not real tiny, but they're not big.
Is it a, this weeping lilac plant, is it a, it's not like a truth or consequence thing on the, is it a Persian type or is it a Korean type lilac? In other words, does it have a fairly large heart, does it have a fairly thick heart-shaped leaf on it? Or is it a thin leaf? Okay, that's probably one of the French lilacs that's been grafted to weep like that. So, they traditionally sometimes they just don't bloom that well here. And it's been in the ground a few years that really the show hadn't been that good on lilacs. So at this point in time, you should see some bud swell on it, some brownish buds that are starting to swell a little bit, and those are probably flowers that might be coming out.
Yeah, we've got, like, buds coming, looks like, finally.
Uh-huh. So, and sometimes it takes a few years for it to get established, also. So.
Okay, so phosphorus is what I need to put around
it. Yeah, a good fertilizer that's meant for shrubs or flowering shrubs, or even a bulb fertilizer, even a tomato fertilizer will work on it, too. So.
Oh, I've got tomato fertilizer. That's
yeah,
no problem.
It might get tomatoes on your lilac, too. Yeah.
Thank you for your help.
Sure. Thanks for calling.
There you go. Appreciate it. It's 8:58 here with the Green Country Gardener right here on your favorite radio station.
And like I said, we have gladiolus bulbs. It's interesting colors. They've had more fun with these gladiolus with all these different colors that are available. So it's just fun just to come look at them and see all this are interesting, if you will. Mm-hmm. And onion sets. Because of the weather, we have a bit more time to get your onions out. And I don't say that you really want to do it today.
No, not really.
But it's a good day to go out and look.
Yeah. Quickly.
So anyway, we got that. We got some new shrubs coming in. And no, I'm not going to share my smoked turkey, but I'm looking at my phone here.
Yeah.
And the elephant ear bulbs. We got they're great big. Bulbs, too. Not the little skimpy ones, but nice big elephant ear bulbs. That'll give you a good show.
All right. So one more call. You got to change.
Okay, put them on.
All right. Hi, good morning. Welcome to the Green Country Gardener.
Yes, I sprayed Roundup last weekend.
Yes.
And when it was kind of nice, and it's been nice and warm, and it has not affected the hen bit, and then I've got that little tuft of grass. I think it's the annual bluegrass,
right?
About a half inch high, and it doesn't seem to work very well. What did I not put on heavy enough? What's the deal?
Two factors. Percentage is a big factor in that, and also surfactants. Look at when you spray, look real closely at the leaf. The color of the leaf should really darken rather dramatically after you apply it on there.
It should
look like it's kind of got soap on it, if you will. And the henbit has a lot of hair on its leaves and tends to repel water. So you might be a case of just not having enough surfactant.
All right, thank you for the call.
Yeah, I guess we're out of time, aren't we?
Yeah.
Well, keep your shovel sharp. We'll see you next week.
Are you getting married? Get the gift of life insurance. Call Phoenix Insurance, 918-336-5460. This is KWON Bartlesville, K227-CQ Bartlesville.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home.